Welcome to the Entrepreneurs Visiting Victor podcast with Victor Dadage, where you'll hear stories and strategies to help increase your sales and grow your business. Here's your host, Victor Dadage.
All right, welcome to Entrepreneurs Visiting Victor. I'm your host, Victor Dadage. I hope you are having an amazing day. Today we have an awesome guest. He is a seasoned sales and business veteran with a master's in finance and economics from Northwestern University. His 40-year career began on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, where he started his first business in partnership with his brother. With the introduction of electronic trading, he transitioned to Wall Street to participate in this disruptive new technology. As a senior sales executive with some of the world's most prominent financial institutions, he learned the business practices that can propel or crush a company's potential for success. He was able to apply those lessons as a founder and board member of a small business, which developed into a publicly listed company on NASDAQ. He is driven by an unshakable desire to partner with the leaders of small and medium businesses. He founded GetLooped LLC as a platform to showcase the value and benefits of a collective prosperity for people, businesses, and communities. And today he helps businesses and CEOs incorporate prosperity and collaboration with prosperity into their business practice. So let's welcome Chris Lautenschlager. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm fantastic, Victor. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you on, Chris. I'd like to get started, but I'd like to please share your story. How did you wind up becoming an entrepreneur?
Well, Victor, like so many people, I grew up in a family that was an entrepreneurial family. My father had a construction company. It was a small, you know, family-held construction company in the northern suburbs of Chicago. And for anybody that's been involved in a family business, we all know that it's completely absorbing. It is part of the family, sometimes the favorite part of the family at times. And literally every day that I wasn't working, my father would wake me up at 4 a.m, regardless of how old I was, to bring me into the workplace. So from a very young age, all the way through college, actually my freshman year in college, my father passed my freshman year in college, and that's when we had to sell the business. I was involved in supporting and being part of that organization. So it's in my blood, so to speak.
Got it. All right. So basically you grew up in an entrepreneurial family. Your dad woke you up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning to get you to work, to you at work, and that went on pretty much until you started college. Until which was around the time he sold the business, and like you said, it absorbed the entire family. So, you might talk a little bit about those early experiences working in your dad's business, because I'm sure it set the stage for the things you did later on.
It did. You know, there's some things that are very ingrained in my persona. One is I still get up very early every single day. It's been a part of, and actually I'm grateful for it. I spend every morning getting centered and spending time in preparing for the day, both intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. So that was something that carried over. The other was hard work. I'm used to being involved in engaging work every single day. So those were all really positive things. One of the things that I noticed about my father's perspective, and so many small business owners, particularly of his generation, but I see it in today's generation also, Victor, is that there was a time, I'll tell you a story. I was driving to work one morning with my father, and he was tired. And I asked him, Dad, how is it that you do this every single day? How is it that for years on end, you get up and you support your family and all of us are dependent upon your hard work every single day? And his answer was so dispiriting, Victor. He told me, what else am I going to do? And he was kind of mourning the fact that this was his, quote, lot in life. And I'm so adamant about the fact that we have choices every single day. We have choices in regards to how we're going to interact in the world, how we're going to interact with each other. And that our choice, particularly when we're business owners, is just so vast. The number one choice I think all of us need to look at is making sure that our day is the way that we want it. Investing in yourself, investing in your day, investing in the present moment is so powerful in making sure that the business that you're engaged in is something that you enjoy. Otherwise, it becomes a chore. Otherwise, it becomes an anchor. Otherwise, it becomes a responsibility and an obligation. And I think that when you get to that point, it's so much harder to turn things around. It can be done, and I work with business owners to be able to turn things around when they're struggling with their purpose, when they're struggling with their values. But if you consciously make a choice that this is a day that's going to be a great day, it really goes a long way, not only in your personal choices, but in your professional ones.
No, very good. Thanks for sharing that. Because I think that, if you know, that experience your dad, I think affects a lot of people, not just in business, but in their jobs, the way they look at things. So, well, number one, you mentioned some things you learned from your dad, how you prepare for the day. You get up early and you set things up. And I do want to get back to you in a couple minutes, ask you about that preparation for the day, because I think that makes a big difference in your success. So we'll get back to that in a minute. You mentioned you also learned hard work, but you mentioned you were driving with your father one day and he seemed tired, and you asked him, you know, why do you get up so? And he says, what else am I going to do? And it sounded like he was despairing. It was like that was his lot in life at that. And it seemed like it was like drudgery. Like, you know, he had to do these things. And you believe that we have choices. And I think the way your dad felt about things, I think a lot of people feel that way about their lot in life too. And they feel like there's no hope. They don't have any power over their choices. And you mentioned that our day, it should be the way we want it to be. And you recommend investing in the day and the moment. Otherwise, it's going to suck you up. And you should try to wake up each morning and say, this is going to be a great day. And I'd like to ask you again, you're talking about all the different ways you're preparing for your day, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually. You talk a little bit more about that and how that's made a big difference in your life and your success. Because I know a lot of people don't do that, but most of the successful people I know do have this set up early in the morning. They have this time for themselves, the gratitude, the meditation. So, like, can you talk a little bit about your routine each morning?
So I get up very early every morning, usually around 4:30. And I know that sounds super early and crazy to some people, but I have to tell you, it's quiet. I have time to think. When it's summer, I sit outside and enjoy the sunrise and listening to nature. It's just such a special time that you can collect yourself. And I'm a systematic person. I found a couple of practices that really work for me. One is I start my day with a gratitude list. Okay, what are the three things that I'm grateful for? What are three actions that I'm grateful for? And then I read something spiritual. Okay. I'm in recovery. So for me, it's always reading something in regards to helping with my higher power and my spiritual recovery. And then, you know, Victor, something that I do that surprised me, it was a recommendation from a friend, but it surprised me in regards to how effective it was, is I spend some time journaling. I actually spend some time writing down my thoughts. Some of it's writing down my thoughts about what's going on. What did I wake up with, that thoughts in regards to the day or how I want to approach it? And then I write down, what do I want from this day? What am I going to get out of it? What are some of the ideas that I want to implement? Rather than, you know, once you dig into your emails, and by the way, I don't go into my emails for at least the first hour. You're off and running. You're being the responder. But here in the morning, when you're actually writing in your journal, your thoughts come to you. You can think more strategically. You have that quiet time. And I found that journaling has been the most productive contribution to my morning routine. And then the last thing is I meditate for 20 minutes. And that's been something that I've practiced for many, many years now. And it is, as everyone that meditates tells you, it's a superpower. It's There's rarely a person that I come across that's a regular meditator that says, it's not working for me. You know, this is a practice that has been implemented by multiple cultures throughout thousands of years. When I looked at it that way, I was like, well, I guess it's worth giving it a try. And I started literally with 5 minutes of a guided meditation laying in bed many, many, many years ago. And then building, building, building. And now that practice allows me to be able to carry it anywhere, use it anytime. But the consistency of having it every morning just really brings me to a sense of comfort and centeredness. And it allows you to be able to see when you're off kilter. You know, part of recognizing being present is being aware of what's going on around you and in your own mind. I think far too many people are reactive in their lives. They go through life unconsciously. They just are checking off their to-do list. They're taking care of the kids. They're making this, doing that. When we start becoming aware of our thoughts and our actions and our interactions with others, that's when life has possibility of being magical, because now you're aware. Now you're making choices instead of just surviving. And meditation really helps me be able to do that, Victor.
No, thanks for sharing that. That's some really good stuff, Dan. You know, you still get up. You get up at 4:30 every morning. You say you're a systematic person, and one of the things you start off each day is you find three things you're grateful for. And almost every successful person that I've ever interviewed or talked with, they all focus on gratitude early in the morning. It makes a big difference. And I highly recommend that to everyone listening to this interview. Definitely, you know, find something to be grateful for each morning. Then you'll focus on reading something spiritual. You'll focus on spiritual recovery and, you know, getting in touch with a higher power. And then you talk about journaling your thoughts, which I also do, and I can tell you, I find it very powerful. I mean, your creativity comes out because, you know, you're just journaling your thoughts, what you want for the day. It's like the more you journal and you practice it every single day, it's like it's incredible the things that come out. It's free flowing. So I definitely agree. Journaling your thoughts is really good. And a lot of people don't realize that. They just go, you know, like I said, they're reactive. They just do the routine. But yeah, taking that time, like 10, 15, 20 minutes, it's incredible the stuff you come with, because you're just journaling, writing thoughts. It's incredible what comes out of your subconscious mind. So I definitely agree. That's really good. And another thing you mentioned is you stay away from emails for the first hour. So these things you're doing in the first hour is really important, because a lot of people don't realize the most important times of the day, the first hour in the morning and the last hour before you go to sleep, because that's when your subconscious mind is most impressionable. So if you merely we just start looking at the emails, answering emails, all that, it's just not gonna have a good start to the day. But if you're doing the things you're doing, you know, journaling, reading something spiritual, you know, look, you know, finding things to be grateful for, and then you talk about having some quiet time and meditating for 20 minutes. Another thing with all great results, and we'll go to the benefits in a minute, but Tim Ferriss wrote the 4-Hour Workweek. Once interviewed the top leaders in many different fields, and he had them fill out a survey. And the one thing he found that these guys had in common was 90% of them did some form of meditation or morning mindfulness exercise every single day. These are people at the top of their field. So there are great results, because the people at the top of their fields all do some kind of meditation or morning mindfulness. So they're great results. And you mentioned the consistency of it is important. It's being present. And here's the thing. You know, people talk about doing a body cleanse. You also have to do a mind cleanse, because your mind is bombarded so often. So if you're having like 20 minutes to cleanse it, and, you know, just being present with yourself, it makes a huge difference. And I'm sure, you know, meditation, you've come up with a lot of great ideas from all the years you've been doing meditation. It's incredible the effects it has on your brain and your creativity. So everyone that does it has great reaction. And you mentioned, because people don't do meditation, they tend to be more reactive, more unconscious, and not aware of the things around them, and that's your detriment. And when you're not aware of the things around you, it's you're gonna lose out on the big time. So definitely, I think I agree with you. Meditation is a great thing to do. So next, I want to ask you about is in your business, you come up with something called the prosperity loop. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how it can benefit small and mid-sized businesses?
Sure. So the prosperity loop is part of two things. One is the story that I told you about my father. I want business owners to have tools at their disposal to help them enjoy their work. There's like a, it's kind of similar to a 7-year itch in which people that have had a successful business to 7, 10, 12, 15 years, they get bored. They're not challenged. They don't, their business is successful, it's making money. They don't want it to get any bigger. They're not looking to expand out, but they're just not challenged. So what I did was I talked in the prosperity loop about some of the steps that you could take to enhance your business and enhance your own life in regards to making your business better. The other aspect of it was during the lockdowns, I was already retired. I retired to Breckenridge. I'd had a successful career in New York City, and during that time when all those small businesses were being shut down, I knew immediately that there were going to be millions of people that were hurt, and that their dreams would be destroyed, and that for so many of them, their will would be severely damaged, because it's so hard to come back when you put your heart and soul into something for so many years and then it's taken away from you. So what I did was I wrote the book in recognition of the small business owner that needs help. That we as a society, I believe, have a responsibility to encourage business owners, to support business owners, because they truly are the backbone of our nation. They truly are the fabric of our communities. And writing the book was my way of saying, hey, here's some ideas that can help you have a better environment within your business. And some of them were pretty simple ideas. One was having a collaborative conversation with the people within your organization. Some of them was valuing your people within your organization. And value is an interesting idea. And because when people think of value, they think of like the value of their entity itself. I view value as humans, that they're the most important component of most small businesses. And so people's values, not just their skills, not just their quantitative capabilities, people's values make a big difference in regards to the quality and the culture of an organization. Okay, you can teach people skills, but it's hard to teach people certain values, such as honoring other human beings, such as respecting other human beings. And one bad hire, one difficult person within an organization changes the entire culture and can change the dynamic and the possibility of success within so many small businesses. So I focus a lot of time on making sure that your hires, that when someone hires someone, that they focus not just on the skills and what they can bring to the business, but what they can contribute as humans to the culture of the organization. And then another component that I talk about within the prosperity loop is shared wealth. So I believe that it's our responsibility as business owners to recognize that there's no such thing as a self-made millionaire. Nobody runs a business on their own. Nobody creates wealth on their own. It is a collaboration. And if you want to feel personally rewarded, you should reward those that contribute. Okay. The whole concept of a quote minimum wage, who wants minimum anything? It's our responsibility to care. We're, as a business owner, we have the gift of taking care of others, whether they're our employees, whether they're our customers, whether they're our vendors, whether they're it's our community. We have an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of so many people. So part of that is getting out of the mentality of mine, of me, of wealth accumulation simply to buy more. It's the least rewarding path in life is more. The most rewarding path in life is shared. So those are just some of the principles within my book, The Prosperity Loop.
No, definitely. That's a really great perspective. And I don't think a lot of businesses, and I could tell you, I worked in the corporate world for a lot of years, especially the larger firms. They don't seem to view things that way. They don't seem to value their employees, take care of their employees, you know, realize that these employees, no matter how low level in the company, they help make your company become successful and prosperous. And they, and frankly, a lot of them just look at them as easily replaceable. And one of the reasons why a lot of people leave companies because they don't feel that their contributions are valued or their participation. They don't feel like they're treated as people. So, you know, their contributions. And so, you know, I'm glad, you know, you mentioned that. So, you know, you mentioned collaborate with your people, value people, you know, get the ideas from them, honor, respect them, and be careful with your hiring. That's also a very important part, especially, I think, you know, as you mentioned, in a small and mid-sized business, because that's a it makes a much bigger difference. If you have like 10, 15 employees and you have one bad hire, that could just affect the whole company.
It's not gonna,
it's poison. It's like you have, you know, 20,000 employees. It's not, doesn't affect as much, but you have like 10 employees. That one employee, you're right, can be a total poison. It can totally ruin everything, the whole culture, the productivity, and it's total poison. So definitely be very careful. And, you know, again, you talked about shared wealth, and it comes to realization, no one's a self-made millionaire because there are people that helped you along the way. You may think, well, I'm a entrepreneur, I did it by myself. No, you might have had, you know, virtual assistants or other kinds of assistants. You had the vendors, you had people that were helping you out there, whether you realize it or not. And without them, you cannot do it on your own. And here's the thing. On your own, you can only make a certain amount of money. You know, whether it's $100,000, it's not scalable. The more people you have helping, working for you, interacting with you, or those kind of people will help scale your business. So that's, you know, it goes in line where you're saying you cannot do it on your own. So you need people to help you throughout your road to success. And unfortunately, some people forget that. So you mentioned it's very important to reward those who contribute, take care of the employees. And here's the thing: you take care of them, they're going to be loyal to you and they won't leave. You don't take care of them, you know, when the economy picks up as a better job, they're going to leave you. And it's one of the major reasons why employees leave. They don't feel valued and appreciated by the bosses. So, and as you know, for smaller mid-sized, it's so crucial to keep those good employees, because like you said, if you lose one or two good employees, that can also harm you. And just like hiring the one bad employee. So, you know, definitely some good stuff. I don't think enough owners realize that. Next question I'd like to ask you is like, okay, so someone wants to start a small business, so and they have no experience, and you know, there's a chance, you know, they're going to make some mistake. What would you recommend some of the things they do getting started and the things they should avoid starting their own business?
So the number one thing that I recommend is get help. Find a mentor. Ask someone questions consistently, who you admire, who's in front of you, who's been down that road, and who's willing to contribute to your success. You know, business owners are some of the most generous people I know. They want to see other people succeed. They want to help. If you have a sincere desire and show gratitude for the help that you get, you will have insight to gold. You will have insight into helping you avoid so many mistakes. And mistakes are costly in time and money. So before you do anything, find someone that you can talk with about it. It really helps to be able to get your thoughts out. It's part of the whole journaling process, but to get feedback from someone who has experience is just invaluable. So get help and expect to work hard. You know, it's not a free lunch. It is a journey, and recognize its journey. It's not a destination. The thing about having a small business, it's not like you arrive. You know, I've taken a company public, and that was kind of an arrival event. But the reality is that most small businesses you're going to have for many years, and it's a day in, day out. So being able to make that journey with others is part of the experience. Know that it's a journey. Know that you're going to work hard, get help, and make money. Okay, I think this is the last and most important lesson. I'm a capitalist. Okay. As a friend of mine who's in the private equity business would say, no profit means no company means no impact. Okay. You need to make money. And so when I talk about being generous, when I talk about sharing wealth, when I talk about investing in yourself and in others, all of that is with the acknowledgement and recognition that we want you to be profitable. But the pleasure, the joy of having a small business is that your focus doesn't have to be a relentless cost-cutting adventure. It doesn't have to be only about how do I reduce costs? How do I get this? How do I increase margins? The thing about private businesses is that you can maximize experiences. You know, I was just actually having a conversation with a small business owner. He owns a rug company. And he's like, how do I compete against the big guys? And I said, the only way that you're really going to compete is customer service, is your secret sauce, is the connection with the customer and vendors and employees. But really, why is that customer going to come to you rather than go online or to a big box store? And it has to be because they feel a connection to you personally, to your store, to your service. That is your secret sauce to success. So make money, have fun along the way, make friends.
I like that. Make money, make friends, and get help, get a mentor. Too many people, especially entrepreneurs, do not do that. Every successful entrepreneur, any successful person, almost just about everything, has gotten a mentor, a coach, a trainer to help them through the process, because they're gonna help you. They're gonna save you so much time and frustration. Try to figure out these things all on your own can stress you out, and you're much more likely to give up. A mentor is gonna say, avoid this, avoid that, because they've gone through it before. They know what works and what doesn't work, so they'll help you reduce the amount of mistakes. So I definitely agree. Get a mentor. And you said a lot of businesses love to help other people succeed. They're usually very generous and giving, so don't be afraid to reach out to others for help. And you mentioned expect to work hard. It is not a free lunch. It's a journey, not a destination, I think. And again, you got to, you know, do it day in and day out and never forget to make money and show them, show them why they should go to you instead of someone else. What difference can you make? What kind of connection you have? You know, how you can serve and give them the better service, the better value that other people cannot give them. And would you also say maybe sometimes in the beginning, like sometimes people want the results so quickly, and especially when you're first getting started, they're not always patient enough?
Most businesses fail because people quit before they win. So be prudent when you go in. I've spent so much money on my business starting out. And it's like, when am I going to get paid? When am I going to get paid? It starts as a trickle. It's, believe me. And this is my encouragement for small business. Focus on the revenues. Okay. Where can I make a sale? Make it personal. Call your 100 closest friends. I'm selling. I need your help. Do not let your ego and pride get in the way. They want to help you. Make sales. It starts as a trickle. Build referrals. Then you'll have a business.
No, I like that. It starts as a trickle. Focus on,
revenues and where you can make a sale. Don't let ego and pride get in the way, and you know, you'll eventually get something. It's going to start out small. And there's a saying, I'm sure you agree, it's very often you get underpaid for the massive work you do in the beginning. But then once you get everything set in place, you keep doing it, you'll often later on, if you do the right things, you'll get overpaid for not doing as much work because you built that proper foundation. Would you say that's correct?
Very much so.
Okay, thank
That's
you.
How it works.
Yes. As we're coming toward the end of our interview, are there any last minute pieces of advice you'd like to leave with our audience?
Care for other people like you'd like them to care for you.
I
Human
love
beings are the reason why we're here on the world. It business is great. It's super fun. It's great to make money. Okay. But it's the relationships that is where all the gold is.
I totally agree. The relationship is where all the gold is, and you can't put a price on the relationship and what it can do for yourself, for your life, or for your business. That's a great way to end things. So, Chris, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's a real pleasure having you on. You shared a lot of great stuff, a lot of great tips, a lot of great value. And, Chris, if people want to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to contact you?
Go to my website, www.get-looped.com, which is GET-LOOPED.com. You'll see that we have a lot going on. We have a golf outing here in the Chicago area celebrating small businesses. We have consulting. We have coaching. We have the ability to be able to, we have a book signing tonight. So there's a lot of fun things going on at Get Looped. Again, we're here to celebrate small businesses and to help America recognize the importance and value of all of these organizations.
Awesome. Thanks again, Chris. Have yourself a great day.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Victor. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please smash that subscribe button so you don't miss any of our amazing episodes. Please also leave a 5-star rating review and have an awesome day.